Cora Carpenter set down her mug of tea and stared out the kitchen window of her bungalow. The stream of chatter from the children in her daycare had ceased, leaving the quiet of a cloudy California afternoon. She didn't focus on Evanville's town square below, which she easily spotted from her window. Soon, the square would boast hundreds of twinkling white lights as night fell, or, if she opened her window, the faint sounds of a community concert might drift up to her. The window remained closed, the concert quiet, because one weekly chore pervaded her thoughts. She dreaded grocery shopping on Thursdays, and today was Thursday. Never much of a cook, she found preparing a spread for a single person, namely herself, was disheartening. Not to mention it emphasized she was alone, without anyone to share meals or companionship. She blew out a sigh. So it was no big deal, right? Wrong. Perhaps it was society's lofty expectations. Every television commercial promoted sharing holiday festivities with a partner. Not her, though. She wouldn't expose herself to the hurt that inevitably followed. She turned as Jack, her brother, breezed into the kitchen. Bald, sporting a thin black mustache and older than she by a decade, he told everyone he was a confirmed bachelor. "Smells good in here." He made a beeline for the cinnamon cookies on the counter. "Are you holiday baking already?" "Cinnamon and cream cheese are key ingredients." She gestured to the trays. "Try one."
"Only one?"
He snatched a handful.
"Or take a dozen?"
"A couple of the older children and I baked them for you and the nurses at the hospital."
"Much appreciated."
He craned his neck to peer out the window. "By the way, Evanville pulled out all the stops for the holidays, complete with a strolling Christmas tree."
"I don't remember anyone mentioning a strolling tree," Cora said.
"It's an innovative idea by the town council's think tank."
"Our town council has a think tank?"
He winked between bites.
"More like the mayor and his wife. You'll notice the tree when you visit downtown."
"How jolly." She lifted a snowman mug to her lips and gave her reindeer earrings a toss. "What's more festive than a walking tree?"
"A strolling tree," he corrected.
"And there's something even more exciting. The live nativity? The annual Candy Cane Eating Contest." Dramatically, he enunciated every word. "A favorite of yours because you've won 3 years in a row." When he didn't reply, she asked, "Are you entering?"
"I probably should give other people a chance."
He sported a smug grin.
"But I won't. Besides, all the extra sugar in candy canes leads to only one result."
"Which is?" He poured a mug of coffee for himself.
"Obesity."
Despite herself, Cora laughed at her brother's good humor, his acceptance of himself as an overweight man. Lighthearted, embracing the comedy in life, he pushed away the loneliness in her chest. "Are you participating in the hospital's 5K charity run?" he asked. She smoothed her khaki-colored sweatshirt, embroidered with the likeness of a cherry red cardinal. "Sadly, I'm out of shape."
"You're lanky and lean. Me, on the other hand?"
He patted his protruding stomach. At 6 feet and 300 pounds, Jack was at a weight many people, including his doctor, labeled as morbidly obese.
"The run is important to me," he went on, "because it benefits Project Nutrition."
He grabbed a napkin to wipe his mouth and tossed it in the trash.
"Needless to say, I'll be walking."
"I read about the program," Cora replied. "They implement cost-effective strategies such as adding iron to food to help cut childhood anemia."
"Malnutrition contributes to a number of developmental delays."
As always, Jack spoke passionately when talking about kids. He was a nurse in the children's ward at the local hospital. Both he and Cora had chosen child-oriented occupations, and they loved youngsters, although neither of them were married nor had children.